This is Richard Roth with The Passage on WGXE, and that was the Psychedelic Furs with an extended version of Heartbreak Beat. My guest this month is a co-founder and lead singer for The Furs, Richard Butler. He has a painting show at BCB Art on Warren Street in Hudson, now through July 3rd. Before the interview, President Gas by The Furs. After the interview, The Ghost in You by The Furs, breathed from Richard Butler's solo album in 2006. Here Come Cowboys and All That Money Wants by The Furs. And finally, Second to Second from the solo album.
No.
This is Richard Roth with The Passage on WGXC, and I am here with Richard Butler.
Welcome. Thank you.
So, what brought you to the Hudson Valley?
Well, I was living in New York City, actually, and about 18 and a half years ago, my then wife became pregnant, and I thought it would be great to have. I grew up in the countryside myself, and I thought it would be a good place for my daughter to grow up, so, you know, we moved up to Cold Spring.
So it's been that long?
Oh, yeah, coming on for 20 years.
Are you a citizen?
No, I'm still an alien.
Why do people like to come to New York?
Well, it's a pretty vibrant city. Certainly when I first came to New York, I thought it was the most exciting city in the world, you know, because everything that, or a lot of things that I loved came out of New York. You know, there was Andy Warhol and the Velvet Underground, and before that there was Abstract Expressionism, and, you know, the English, British art scene seemed quite pale by comparison, you know, in terms of, you know, electricity and excitement, you know. And, you know, movies like Taxi Driver, you know, also, they you know, perpetuate this myth, you know, and it was a wonderful city, and a very exciting city for a young English boy to be in. You
know? Did you come with when you were quite young, your first visit?
Yeah, and it was everything I thought it would be. I'd seen Taxi Driver, I'd seen the smoke coming out of the streets, and yeah, I loved it. And, you know, met Andy Warhol and went to the factory and did all that.
You went to art school?
Yes.
And so you always wanted to be a painter?
Yes. And then in my very last year, and it was a fairly traditional art school, actually, in a lot of ways, which suited me fine. I mean, I like painting, you know, and I like painting people. In the last year, I got very involved with, you know, maybe something more conceptual, and I would, like, you know, record conversations I had with people, then write them out, and then cut a section out, and then blow it up and print it as big block letters. But, you know, in my final year of art school, one of the teachers said, you know, there are only about half a dozen artists in England that actually make their living from their work. And I kind of thought, oh, okay, nice, good time to tell us all that. And, you know, I left art school, and I didn't really know what to do, how to, you know, how to proceed about making a living out of making, as what I was doing then was printing stuff, you know, printing things, like, you know, books, silkscreen books, and posters and stuff like that. So I didn't know how that fitted in, you know, and how people went about getting galleries. And at that exact time, punk rock, you know, hit in England, and it was all about these bands everywhere, you know, and I'd always loved music, loved the Velvet Underground, loved David Bowie, loved Bob Dylan, you know. So I thought, well, you know, with the impetus of punk rock and everybody saying, you know, you can do it, you know, I decided to form a band, and that did well. So it kind of put off the whole gallery question for a little while. You know, the only visual thing I used to do would be, you know, I'd have a hand in designing the album covers and you know, the stage presentation and things like that. But nothing serious until, you know, I suppose, wow, it's nearly getting on for 30 years now. I mean, back to the early 90s when I started painting again and getting involved in that. And slowly, it came so that I became a painter that sings rather than a singer that paints, you know. So it takes up a lot more of my energy and thought and time in the studio painting than music by a long way. Oh, we still go out on tour. Yeah, we're touring in July. And I love it, you know. We tour every year. I mean, last year we toured for about 3.5 months. So we're still very active. Like I said, you know, I spend more of the time painting.
When it comes to painting, mostly you're doing portraits.
Yes.
Was that always your main interest?
Not always. No, it sort of shifted to that. I mean, when I first picked up, you know, paints again, I was kind of lost. So, you know, I guess like a lot of people, I went around and looked at everything, you know, and was influenced by lots of things and didn't know quite where I was. But it didn't take me that long to focused down to what I wanted to do, which was portraits. You know, I like creating a presence, if you like, and I like the presence of a face in a room. And you know, it's a very different thing to like a landscape or a still life or an abstract. You know, you're actually creating a person in a way. You know, and I enjoy that, and I enjoy that, you know, the company kind of in a way, in an odd way. And plus, you know, I had my daughter, as I said before, and I was, you know, kind of very interested in recording her and recording her, you know, the way her face changed over the years. I've been painting her since she was about four, you know, maybe even longer. You know, so, it's, you know, and it's almost like she's a cipher for myself in a way. You know, it's a strange thing.
Her middle name is Mozart.
Yeah.
That indicates an admiration for Mozart, I assume.
Yeah, and I like the sound of it. yeah, Brahms didn't work so well. Most of the paintings are in this show, of my daughter. I mean, I mess with them. I'll take photographs, and, you know, in one photograph, the light will be coming from one direction, maybe, and in another direction, or I combine elements of both faces. So sometimes I use a nose from one photograph, and sometimes the eyes are from a different, and the mouth, and, you know, just I change it all around, because until I get an image that, you know, I like the way it's all working, for whatever reason, I don't know, it just feels right, you know, at a certain point. And they don't always look like they're, you know, or mostly they don't actually look like they're put together in that kind of way, but when they do, I kind of enjoy that too. But it's interesting to get, you know, sometimes the shadow on one side of the face, and, you know, the shadow of the nose going the wrong way, and I enjoy that. It's almost like the cubist idea of time, you know, it's kind of a riff on that almost sometimes.
And they have sort of religious titles.
Yeah. For an atheist, I'm very fascinated by religious iconography for some reason. You know, the cross is a very powerful shape and idea, you know, and, you know, I love, you know, the idea that, you know, you go to a Catholic church and, you know, I just love the symbolism and pomp and circumstance and, you know, the mythology, you know, and that comes out in a lot of my paintings.
And you also paint your partner, Erica.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I suppose they're available.
Yeah.
Which is a huge advantage. Do you have pretty much an idea of the design of the painting before you start out?
No, I don't know. You know, I might have an idea for, you know, doing a painting. I mean, the Ash Wednesday cross on the forehead, in quite a few of the paintings here, I actually made that to be a full cross over, you know, the eyes and down the face. I sort of magnified that Ash Wednesday idea. And then, you know, I applied the makeup to, you know, Erica and Maggie and took loads of photographs of them with that stuff on, you know. But yeah, I just love the iconography, you know, the mystery of it.
And you use oils?
Yes. Yeah. There's a richness to oil paint. I tried acrylics for a while, and because I was at one point painting and traveling a decent amount, but I tried those water-based oil paints, but they don't work the same. You know, I love the richness of oil paint, the malleability of it, and, you know, the time you get to work. It doesn't dry immediately, so you can, you know, work into it, do wet on wet, and all that sort of stuff. Yes, I enjoy it. It's funny that I've pretty exclusively painted Erica and Maggie for the last number of years, but I ran into this, well, I met this woman about a year ago, Jane Forth, who used to be...
She was an Andy Warhol.
She was an Andy Warhol superstar. Very charismatic, beautiful woman. And I just was hanging out with her earlier on, and I'm going to do some paintings of her. I think she's got a very striking face. And you know, like I said, incredibly charismatic. So, yeah, I'm hoping to stretch out from my immediate family.
Her husband's a good painter also.
Claude, yeah. He's a nice guy too.
Yeah, very. So do you live all the time, full time in Cold Spring?
No. I moved to Beacon about 10 years ago, or something like that. And I like Beacon.
But that's your principal.
Oh yeah, full time residence. Yeah. I mean, I get into when I first moved up here, I kind of thought I was going to be go crazy, not being in the city all the time. And I thought, I can head into the city a couple of times a week. It's only an hour away. I never went in more than once a month. Now, it's maybe less than that sometimes.
You said you grew up in the countryside.
Outside of London, but it was kind of rural, woods, trees, fields, farms, and I love that, I do.
Would you say that the music and the painting are related in any way?
Yeah, it's difficult to describe exactly how, other than they're both expressions of something inside me that you externalize and then you make corrections until it feels right. And when it feels right, I suppose, it means that you feel like you're being honest and it touches a note in you. And it doesn't matter whether it's music or, making a painting or writing a book or whatever, it's got to hit that chord in you that you recognize. They're very similar. I mean, I think my paintings tend to be somewhat melancholic, as do my songs, largely. So there's that same aura of melancholy, I suppose.
Are you the principal songwriter for the Furs?
My brother and I, yeah. I write all the lyrics, but I'm not a musician as such. So, Tim or, Paul... will write a piece of music and send it to me, and then I'll either feel something and a melody will come to mind, or it won't. About one in three, I suppose, I get a melody comes, and the rest goes somewhere else.
How long do you spend on a painting?
Oh, it varies. It's amazing. Sometimes they work really quickly, and sometimes everything goes right, and you can finish one in. A small one you can finish in a couple of days, Other times it takes forever, and you can't get it right, and you're not happy with it, and you have to scrape it down and sand it off, and you can spend a couple of weeks sometimes on it. It varies.
Yeats had a story about it. His father was never able to be really satisfied with a painting, and he once painted a pond and went through all four seasons before he finished it.
Yeah, it's odd. It's an odd process. It has to feel right, and sometimes it happens really quickly. I remember I read an interview with David Hockney, and he said every time he starts a painting, he doesn't think he's going to be able to do it. Every time he starts, it's like he's never made a painting before. And I know what he means. You take nothing for granted. It's very fickle. Like I said, sometimes it will work from the get-go. Sometimes everything goes wrong. Sometimes it's not an image because I do these, I compose the image and almost collage it together, you could say, on the computer. And sometimes you recognize that it's going to be a good thing to, it touches that part of you, and you go, that's going to be a good painting. I can let go and be loose on that. And it's not like, I'm not copying the image on the computer. I'm not like a photographic realist or something like that. I'm using that kind of largely as a starting point. But sometimes you paint it and it's like it never really turned into a painting. It was kind of like, almost it feels sometimes like you just copied a photograph, and they're the ones that never work. It's just a failure. There's no feeling in it. And it never went that extra thing where it took your attention away from the photograph you're painting and it became a thing of its own. And which is ultimately what you have to be doing. You're making a painting, you're not copying a photograph. Otherwise, you could just present people with a photograph. So it has to become a painting, and the ones that fail are the ones that don't become paintings. Which I suppose would be the same thing if you were painting somebody from life. Same thing. At some point, it has to you know, you're dealing with two dimensions and paint, and it has to become about that. It can't be about trying to, for me, it can't be about trying to copy the reality that's in front of you. It's about being a painter.
And these sort of abstract shapes and so on that you add to the image of the face, yeah, those just kind of come intuitively, I suppose.
And accidentally sometimes. You know, you'll be doing one thing and you'll say, oh, I'll try this over here. Or maybe, it was a painting that you started and you didn't like and you let it dry and sanded it down and then started painting again and something interesting happened with the other image showing through and you go, oh, I'm going to leave that. I like that twist, It happens for, any number of reasons. Sometimes you just get frustrated, because you can become, sometimes you like the beginning of a painting and you can become a little bit too careful with it, and then you have to leave that and then come back in and mess it up again.
So you finish several paintings a month?
Yeah, if it's going well, yeah.
Now, there are two images here in the gallery that are quite different, where you've use sort of squiggly lines or rubber bands to compare them to. Is that something new?
Yeah, relatively new. I wanted to try like as if it were lace, as if you're kind of looking at an image through some sort of lace pattern almost. And so, and I wanted to, it's almost like it's stealing paintings out of black. So basically, instead of, painting a face and then painting some lace over the top or whatever, I decided to paint the whole thing black and then steal the image from the black by these, little shapes and see if I could make it work. And it's harder than it seems.
Oh, well, it looks tremendously hard.
I mean, because you're talking about making a tonal change in a line that's, an eighth thick, maybe. And you're just doing this, you've got to make a tonal change in it. It's quite incredibly time-consuming.
Yeah, I can believe
it. It's funny because I was working on some ideas for doing some more, and Erica said, are you pretty sure you want to do that? The other ones drove you nuts. I enjoy the image, I enjoy the look of it, but they are strange to do.
Now, I read about your parents. What was your family background? They were supportive of you as an artist.
Well, funnily enough, my father's now passed, but my mum reminded me the other day that I went to art school and my father went, oh no, he's going to art school. They supported me, they paid half of my grant, whatever you do in England, I forget, but they paid half of that. And then when I decided to form a rock band, he sort of looked at my mother and went, oh no, not again. And luckily, and knock on wood, I was quite successful with both of them. And he grew to be quite proud of, the band, because he would come and see us and we'd be playing these big places in England. And, he never got to see, sadly, he never got to see my paintings. But I would have loved reminding him of his comments to my mother. I mean, he was a scientist, atheist, communist, all the good things, and...
Did he take you to Russia at one point?
No, we were all going to live in Russia. He got a job as the scientific ambassador, and we were all set to go to Russia. And, then he had this nervous breakdown and had to be, committed and, electric shock treatment and all of that they were still, which I think they're doing again now, actually, in some places. But he went through this whole electric shock treatment and he couldn't go. Which is probably a good thing. We probably would have been bombarded with microwaves or whatever they were doing back then.
So, as I said, I saw one of your shows. Must have been about 82 or 83 or something like that. In fact, somebody asked me once, what was the best music show I ever saw? And I said, without hesitation, Psychedelic Furs.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, you put together the whole thing visually, as well, then?
We had this lighting designer called Alex Nysik, who we worked together for years, actually, through most of the 80s. And, we would talk about ideas, and then he would design something, and then, around it, and we'd perfect it and work on different bits and pieces.
Now you are writing softer, quieter kind of music. Is that true?
No, not really. No. No, I don't think so. I mean, we're working on a new record, and we've probably done about half of it. But it's not laid back. It's, you know, it's not Leonard Cohen for sure.
There's a very nice YouTube video of where you're doing an acoustic version of, I think it's "Love My Way."
Oh yeah,
on YouTube.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Kind of candles all around.
You know, oh, that was the House of Blues. Yeah, we did a live House of Blues show, and that was there was an extra. You know, you get extras in those things. So we did, went to this little room and played about four or five songs acoustically.
It seemed also at the beginning, for example, We Love You.
We Love You, yeah.
Those songs were quite political.
Yeah, yeah. President Gas is very political and still very apropos, actually, when we play it. And Love My Way even was, you know, political in its own way. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think the songs I write still are, to some degree. I mean, we've got a song called Wrong Train at the moment, which I think is political in probably the same way that Love My Way is. You know, it's about choices and, you know, say emotional, political, that's silly, but sort of gender political, I suppose. Yeah, that was a funny time though. We made a video with Tim Pope, and we had some of those weird guys who wear the fezzes, the private club,
the Shriners,
but they didn't know that that was being they were being shot for a video, and so they kicked up this big fuss, and we ended up never being able to show it. MTV or anything. So it was crazy.
Do you have still the same personnel in the band?
Well, no. We have the same personnel that we had, a lot of the same personnel that we had throughout most of the 80s. We have Miles Williams on saxophone, Paul Garisto on drums, my brother Tim on bass, myself, of course. So I guess that's, you know, that's two-thirds of the people that most people knew are coming to see us. They can probably Skype some stuff from online. I mean, you can Skype different things from different places like people do.
It's fantastic these days.
It really is. I love it. But, you know, it's hell for, you know, young bands trying to find their way, I think. You know, I mean, music's kind of free these days, isn't it? So it's, there are huge arguments to be made on both sides of the fence, I suppose. Why not?
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Love, 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 you can't give it away. Love, love. it's a blow against all they believe. Just breathe. Breathe. So that people will remember us. Just breathe. After all we've said, I guess we're ugly underneath. What the hell they gonna say? Are we born for the aliens? Are there aliens at all? Man, I wonder what they'll say if we we'll be right back. heaven tastes like this. Cable pushed down full of pins. Sunday's child will fall through faith. I feel I'm falling out of grace. I see the sky come down like rain to drown me in my sleep. People fade and I forget you. I hear footsteps, I see faces, but it all means nothing to me. All that money wants, all that money wants. blue dress and turn on a candle. Some cool electronical old-fashioned song.